This is the intro for Decatur, Part 1.
Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. We begin on the front page, Coronavirus Local Response, Focus on Prevention. As more cases reported, officials take steps to address spread. This article is by Annalisa Trofimuk from Decatur. The coronavirus spread intensified Monday, with Governor J.B. Pritzker issuing a disaster proclamation after four new cases were identified statewide. None of the known COVID-19 cases reported are in central Illinois, but Decatur officials say they're taking aggressive steps to prevent the disease. "We've been looking at plans to try to prevent the coronavirus from affecting Decatur," said John Williams, administrator of the city public transit system, which operates 15 bus routes. 20 gallons of special cleaning solution have been ordered, and workers will sanitize all 24 buses nightly. Much of the attention nationally has focused on transportation systems and where people gather in large groups. On Sunday, Amtrak said a passenger aboard a train from Chicago to St. Louis tested presumptive positive for coronavirus. The train, Amtrak 303, made stops in Normal, Lincoln, and Springfield. On Monday, it was confirmed the woman is a 20-year-old Indiana University student who had studied abroad in Italy. Her plane landed at O'Hare International Airport on March 2nd. Decatur Airport Director Tim Wright on Monday said they're monitoring the developments, although nobody has called here with concerns over the coronavirus, he said. The airport last week started United Express jet service, operated by SkyWest Airlines, to O'Hare. More than 230,000 travelers pass through O'Hare daily. "We're paying attention to the media outlets and where it's being reported," Wright said. Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf on Monday said, "The most important message is to take precautions and not panic. Wash your hands, cover your cough, and stay home if you're sick." She took part in a roundtable on Friday organized by U.S. Rep. Rodney Davis, Republican Taylorville, with area healthcare professionals and public agencies. Representatives from Decatur Memorial Hospital and HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, where the mayor is executive director of philanthropy, advocacy, and community relations, took part. "We are learning more about this latest health concern every day and how to best deal with it," she said. "Governor Pritzker is having daily briefings, and I have every confidence in both of our hospitals and their abilities to lead us through this." Now in 13 states, COVID-19 as of Monday has infected more than 100,000 people and killed more than 3,400 people. Most cases have been mild, and more than half of those infected have recovered. The four new Illinois cases bring the state's total COVID-19 number to 11. 13 states have also declared states of emergency, which allows for additional federal resources. "As we've said from the beginning, the state of Illinois will use every tool at our disposal to respond to this virus. And this is the next step in that commitment," Pritzker said at a news conference. The new cases include two women, one in her 50s and one in her 70s, who are related to a Chicago high school employee who announced last week as the state's sixth case, said Dr. Allison Arwadi, commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. Pritzker said the government is now assembling mobile support teams of emergency responders to react quickly when new situations arise. Government and healthcare experts have repeatedly said the virus can't easily be transmitted by casual contact, but agencies are still taking steps to disinfect high-traffic areas. Amtrak has also disinfected the train as well as the stations in Chicago and St. Louis. Amtrak spokesman Mark Magliari said about 169 customers who purchased tickets for the same train, Amtrak 303, that the woman rode have been contacted to let them know of the patient's test result. They were encouraged to monitor their health and contact their health provider if they had questions, he said. In Decatur, Williams said MV Transportation, the management company that oversees the public transit system as well as provides services in Chicago and across the U.S., has been communicating with Decatur officials about steps being taken. On Monday, passenger Robert Heath, 55, of Decatur, said he wasn't worried about the issue. "I'm not concerned about this, especially in Decatur," he said. "We are lucky to have clean buses," Heath said. Robin Coons, a lifelong Decatur resident, said even if she thought there was a risk in taking public transportation, it is her only means of getting from place to place. "I've been taking Decatur buses my entire life, and they've always been pretty clean," she said. "But I also don't have any other option to get to where I need to go." Travel agent not seeing impact. Decatur school buses will also be disinfected as part of the district's spring cleaning plan. District officials announced last week that classrooms and buses would be sanitized while the students and staff are away on spring break between March 10th and 13th. Mike Boliard, owner of Decatur City Taxi, said they are advising drivers to keep orderly maintenance of vehicles. Other services have taken precautions related to COVID-19. A spokesperson for DoorDash said a task force is working on a comprehensive strategy to protect the health and safety of the community. The company required Seattle-based employees to work from home. Travel arrangements for corporate employees have been suspended. Representatives from Uber did not respond to requests for comment. Linda Roberts, owner of Best Trips Ever in Mount Zion, recommends that those looking to travel check with their agent about cancellation policies. Of the 10 groups booked with her agency this year, none have canceled, but she noted they are still cautious and some call to ask about cancellation options in case coronavirus gets reported in their intended destination, Roberts said. Clients are remaining optimistic to travel once the summer months come around, she said. They keep saying the warm weather may help, she said. We just all pray that this will go away and everybody is okay. That's the main thing, the safety of our clients. And several photos accompany this article here. We'll work from the end and work back toward the beginning. Decatur Airport Director Tim Wright is shown Friday at an event to start new jet service at the airport. He said Monday, they're closely monitoring the coronavirus situation. Robert Heath left and LaVon Cole wait for a Decatur public transit bus to Lost Bridge on Monday at the Senator Severance Transit Center. And another bus photo, Robert Heath waits for a Decatur public transit bus Monday near downtown. The transit system is sanitizing buses to prevent COVID-19. And this is a neat angle. It's taken from down at the right fender, the entry point of the step of the bus, looking up toward the top. And so it's a neat low to high angle. All right, so sidebar, Lincoln Service 303 route. Amtrak officials have said a passenger on the Lincoln Service 303 last week tested presumptive positive for the coronavirus. The route includes stops in central Illinois. So we have Union Station, Summit, Joliet, Dwight, Pontiac, Uptown Normal, Lincoln, Springfield, Carlinville, Alton, and Gateway Station, St. Louis. All right, moving on to the education article, Finding Their Own Rhythm. Ukulele and xylophone clubs get Parsons students into music. Valerie Wells, Decatur. Parsons School's ukulele club began after winter break in January, and already three of the kids have gone out to buy a ukulele of their own because they like it so much. And those three third graders got together and worked up a song to perform for their fellow uke players during a recent club meeting. After some last-minute consultation about which of them would take which part. "I have my own guitar, but I never played it," said Natalie Slater, one of the three, "so now I play ukulele." Victoria Crowder said she'd never played an instrument before. "I thought it was going to be fun," she said, and it was, fascinating enough to make her want to own her own instrument. Her uke has a tropical motif. "I like beaches and sun and all kinds of beachy stuff," she said with a grin. Miley Hansen's ukulele is pink, and she plays it at home. with her dad, who has a pink guitar. Now they match. Parsons has band, choir, and orchestra for students, but not all kids want to participate in those groups, said Ashley Faulkner, music specialist at the school. Additionally, students have to be in fifth grade for band, and that left nothing for younger kids who want to learn to play. Ukuleles are small enough for children's hands. Learning enough chords to play songs is relatively easy, and of course, it's fun. It's third through sixth grade, and there's usually about 20 that come, Faulkner said. They know only about five or six chords now after only doing this about 2 months, so that's really impressive. They can tune them on their own, and they're very independent with it. If they've learned something on their own, they come up and show it to us. The school provides ukuleles for the students to use, and Faulkner teaches them to play using a combination of her own knowledge, she plays too, and YouTube videos that provide popular songs with ukulele chords on the screen, so kids can follow along. It's a really accessible instrument for them, and it allows them to play those fun pop songs that they know, Faulkner said. They can combine singing and ukulele playing, which is fun for them. Half of them come in during their lunch and recess to practice. They finish their lunch in like 2 seconds so they can come in to play, which is really cool. Another group Faulkner oversees at the school is the Xylophone Ensemble, the only one in the Decatur Schools district as far as she's aware. The fifth and sixth grade musicians take turns on the various sizes of xylophones to make harmonious sounds, glockenspiel, soprano, alto, and bass. I think it's really fun that we get to improve and do our own sort of thing, said Braden Leffler. During a recent class, as the kids discussed how to organize the piece they're working on to make it most pleasing, one suggestion was to begin with the basses and have the other parts come in one at a time. Okay, basses, you are loud and in charge, Faulkner said. Getting a whole room full of kids to stay in time and on the right notes isn't easy, but the enthusiasm of the youngsters was obvious. Fifth grader Samarion Cunningham saw a band concert that included xylophones, which sparked his interest. I thought I could do good on it, too, he said. You can make your own music with it, or with a group, and you can make more friends. For Kayla White, it's making music that's the heart of her interest. I love music, the sound, the beat, the rhythm, said Kayla, a fourth grader. I thought I might mess up a lot, but it's actually fun, and I got to meet different people from different classes. When you get into the rhythm, you can make it sound sweeter and add different things. Some music won't sound the same, like rock and roll is louder than jazz. The reason I came here to the club is I like to try different stuff. And some neat photos that accompany this article. The first one, third graders Hannah Morgan, left, and Brooklyn Wilson are shown during ukulele club recently at Parsons Elementary School. And they're both looking at their ukes strumming. And fifth grader Samarion Cunningham, left, and Keontae Rowe prepare for practice at Parsons Elementary School. They play glockenspiel, soprano, alto, and bass. And so this angle is really neat. It's taken from the front edge of the, I don't know if it's a soprano or bass, but it's the wooden blocks. And Keontae is using the mallets, and one has made contact, and he's very focused on the notes. Very neat. And we're on to page A2, more of the coronavirus local response, local process laid out for identifying potential cases. County officials work to prepare our community. This article is by Donette Beckett from Decatur. As worries of the coronavirus continue to grow, Decatur and Macon County medical professionals say a process is in place to identify those who are infected. According to Marissa Hosier, Macon County Health Department Director of Health Promotion and Public Relations, all current testing is done through the Illinois Department of Public Health. At this time, all testing through the IDPH has to be approved before it can be sent to their labs, Hosier said. To facilitate the testing for coronavirus or COVID-19, health department staff discuss patient symptoms and risk factors with local medical providers to see if they meet the state's criteria. The local health department then reaches out to the State Department of Public Health for guidance. The MCHD staff works daily with local healthcare partners and the IDPH to appropriately respond to the constantly evolving coronavirus information. Local healthcare partners include Decatur Memorial Hospital, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, federally qualified health centers, and Macon County Emergency Management Agency. As always, we want people to know that we are all working very hard to prepare our community, Hozier said. Michael Leathers, Decatur Memorial Hospital's media relations consultant, said the hospital is prepared to handle COVID-19 if it is found in the community. Recognizing the evolving nature of this situation, we continue to monitor and update our protocols to respond to any new recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Illinois Department of Public Health, he said. According to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Chief Medical Officer Dr. Phil Barnell, the hospital has a multidisciplinary team preparing for cases of the coronavirus in the United States and the Decatur and Macon County community. St. Mary's Hospital is currently prepared to screen patients that meet criteria from the CDC and the IDPH at the points of patient entry, Barnell said. All patients who enter St. Mary's Hospital are being asked about travel, exposure, and signs and symptoms of COVID-19. Anyone who thinks they may have been exposed to the virus are encouraged to reach out to their primary health care provider, emergency department, or local health department for further instructions. According to Hozier, medical personnel are encouraging the community to utilize trusted resources for gathering the most up-to-date information regarding COVID-19, such as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and IDPH websites. And on to page A3 of local and state police. Man bites officer charged. Articles by Tony Reed, Decatur. A driver who police said fled from them after smoking cannabis and drinking alcohol got into more trouble at the Macon County Jail after authorities said he bit a correctional officer on the arm hard enough to leave a bleeding wound. A sworn affidavit said the 19-year-old man arrested at the jail following his arrest at 2:20 a.m. Saturday after a short chase ended with his vehicle stopped on North 27th Street. Macon County Deputy Shane Beck said the man suddenly became actively resistant while being processed into the jail and bit a correctional officer's right inner forearm. Beck said the man, who lives in Edwardsville, had earlier been taken to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital after being hurt while resisting arrest at the North 27th Street East US 36 intersection where the traffic stop took place. Beck said he became violent when refusing to submit to a blood test and had made a grab for a deputy's duty weapon. The driver was taken to the ground by a hip toss and suffered minor facial injuries, added Beck. The deputy said the driver also tried to cheat a urine alcohol test by pouring water into a specimen bottle. He was found to have a breath alcohol content of 0.211 and showed signs of impairment during sobriety testing. Beck said the driver initially said he had only smoked cannabis, but after he was placed in the confines of a squad car, Beck said he became aware that the man had a strong odor of alcohol. I asked him again if he had been drinking, and he shook his head, indicating yes, said Beck. The driver was booked on preliminary charges of driving under the influence, disobeying a stop sign, operating an uninsured motor vehicle, illegally transporting alcohol, failure to signal when required, and unlawful possession of cannabis. He was also charged with 2 counts of resisting obstructing law enforcement, aggravated battery to a corrections officer, and consumption of alcohol by a minor. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. A check of Macon County jail records showed the driver was free after posting $1,000 bond on bail set at $10,000. Harristown breaking ground. Work gets started on new Village Hall and Community Center. Valerie Wells, Harristown. Cold rain and wind didn't stop Harristown's groundbreaking ceremony for its new Village Hall and Community Center. Holding umbrellas that threatened to turn inside out in the wind, Mayor Evelyn Deverell and other officials waded out through the puddles to dig their shovels into a ceremonial mound of dirt, kept dry by a tarp for the occasion, before going inside the temporary office nearby to dry off and to get warm. The old Village Hall at 185 North Kembark had to be abandoned and demolished due to damage from the December 2018 tornado that wreaked such havoc in Taylorville. "We started having ceilings falling," Deverell said. "The old building was offices in our maintenance shop, and there was storage above the offices, and we started hearing noises and the ceilings falling down. So I called and had the insulation tested first to make sure it wasn't asbestos, which it was not. Larger pieces of ceiling started falling, as big as 8 by 10 feet, along with the dust and debris that accumulate over the life of a building that was built in 1972. Deverell contacted the village's engineer, Chastain and Associates, to inspect the building, and they called in a structural engineer. When the 2018 tornado passed over the village, though it didn't touch down, the winds shifted the building, and it did the damage. The appraiser for the village's insurance company condemned the village hall, and it was vacated by mid-September. At first, the village rented a construction trailer, which lacked a restroom and was too small to be a long-term solution. An apartment in a nearby building became vacant, and the offices moved there, where they are still located, while storage is in various locations elsewhere in the village. Our office clerk was having to go home to use the restroom, Deverell said. Once they condemned the building, they didn't even want us to go in there to use the restrooms. So that didn't work out, and this is where we are until we get the new building. The new 6,000-square-foot village hall with a community center will be completed in August, and a grand opening event is in the planning stages, Deverell said. Insurance will pay a portion of the $950,000 cost of the new building, and the village funds will cover the rest. Harristown does not assess taxes on residents. Though only 3 employees work in the building, as a rule, the village hall is also the site of the village board meetings, and residents attend those meetings as well as visiting the hall for various other reasons. The community center will be a place where the village can hold events like potlucks and rent it out for weddings and other events. The architect is Nathan Elliott of EA Architecture, and the contractor is 4MC Corporation out of Argenta. This is a really neat picture. Rain being shown, and the dignitaries here with their hard hats. 4 people shown. Shovel handle shown. Lots of big smiles. Mayor Evelyn Deverell, far right, stands in the rain on Monday before a groundbreaking for Harristown's Village Community Center municipal building. The Taylorville tornado of December 2018 did damage to a previous building. The building was demolished in 2019. Moving on, arrested driver trashes interview room, police say. Tony Reed, Decatur. Police said a Decatur driver who fled from detectives became agitated while being questioned and then trashed an interview room. A sworn affidavit said the incident began around 5:30 p.m. Friday when police converged on the area of West Main Street and South Haworth Avenue after getting reports of shots being fired. A detective in the area spotted a car that resembled the description of a suspect vehicle, and it sped off, the affidavit said, when responding officer Scott Gilman tried to pull it over. Gilman said the vehicle ran multiple stop signs before eventually stopping in the 600 block of West Decatur Street. A passenger got out of the car and fled, but the 22-year-old driver was caught. Interviewed at Decatur Police Headquarters, the driver said he realized the squad car behind him with flashing lights and a wailing siren was trying to pull him over, but he kept going because he didn't know where to stop. He then became agitated and the interview was terminated, said Gilman. He then began to damage items in the interview room. He knocked holes in the walls, broke a chair, broke a table, scratched the door window, broke the doorknob off the door, and damaged the metal window frame. After being subdued, the man was booked on preliminary charges of causing criminal damage to taxpayer property and aggravated fleeing and eluding. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Macon County jail records showed the man remained in custody Monday night in lieu of bail set at $100,000, which means he must post $10,000 to be released. Police say man shot for second time in 3 months. Garrett Karsten, Decatur. Police say a Decatur man that was shot in early December was shot again Sunday evening. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said the 22-year-old refused to give police information about the shooting after he was brought to St. Mary's Hospital around 11 p.m. with injuries that were not life-threatening. The man was also uncooperative in December, and it's unclear if the two incidents are related, Copeland said. Officers responded to a call at approximately 10:40 p.m., referencing shots had been fired by an unknown male in a blue Nissan in the intersection of Jasper Street and Grand Street, according to police. Police said the shots were fired at a gray vehicle with tinted windows, and 11 bullet casings were recovered at the scene. And we move on to page A5, the Nation and World page. Beautiful photo here, very colorful, a celebration of spring. Indian children spray colored water as they celebrate Holi festival Monday in Guwahati, India. Holi is the festival of colors, heralds the arrival of spring. Governments battle coronavirus. Italy under lockdown. Trump teases financial plans to ease fallout. Associated Press. Italian Premier Giuseppe Conte put his entire country on lockdown Monday to combat the coronavirus, banning all but the most important travel and putting the final kibosh on social gatherings after Italians failed to take previous warnings to heart amid skyrocketing infections. 2 days after imposing the same strict measures on a quarter of the country in the hard-hit north, Conte urged all 60 million Italians to stay home. The only travel allowed will be for cases of necessity. In the United States, President Donald Trump said Monday his administration will ask Congress to pass payroll tax relief and other quick measures as the coronavirus fallout drew closer to him personally. The White House asserted it was conducting business as usual on Monday, but the day's business was anything but normal. Handshakes on the Hill were discouraged, and a Pentagon meeting was broken into subgroups to minimize the number of people in the same room. Meanwhile, the cruise ship, forced to idle for days off the coast of California because of a cluster of novel coronavirus cases aboard, arrived in port Monday as state and U.S. officials prepared to transfer its passengers to military bases for quarantine or return them to their home countries. The Grand Princess pulled into the port of Oakland with more than 3,500 people aboard, 21 confirmed to be infected with the new virus. U.S. passengers will be flown or bused from the port, chosen for its proximity to an airport and military base, to bases in California, Texas, and Georgia for testing, and a 14-day quarantine. The ship is carrying people from 54 countries, and foreigners will be whisked home. For most people, the new coronavirus cases only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. And State Digest, a real quick one on B8, volunteer lawyers to aid backlog. Illinois Supreme Court appeals cases piling up. Associated Press, Chicago. The Illinois Supreme Court will add 14 volunteer lawyers to help accelerate the appeals process of criminal cases. The state's high court launched a six-month program aiming to assist with the clearing of backlog of Cook County appeals cases, which have been held for so long that some people finish their sentence before they win an acquittal, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. The pilot program will operate in Cook County and Northern Illinois, with potential to expand statewide if proven effective. Similar programs have been used in other states to help reduce backlogs, Illinois Supreme Court Justice Ann Burke said. MacArthur Justice Center Executive Director Locke Bowman said while it's a good sign that the court recognizes the problem, he thinks it needs to be addressed on an institution level. This is a problem that will eventually have to be addressed institutionally, in my opinion, Bowman said. Pro bono volunteers won't in the end be sufficient to solve a backlog created by insufficient publicly funded appellate defense attorneys, I fear. In 2018, the Cook County State Appeals Court panel ruled on more than 1,300 criminal cases. Two-thirds of those cases were solved in at least 782 days, the longest wait time in Illinois, the newspaper reported. One of every 10 appeals takes longer than 3 years to decide. Adding to the delay, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office regularly seeks extensions for 180 days to return appeal responses due to attorney shortages, according to the Sun-Times. A representative for Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox said asked the State Senate last week for $1 million to go toward hiring 10 entry-level prosecutors to handle appeals, according to a spokeswoman. All right, we will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. Please stay tuned.